We welcome the court result and sentence and take comfort that the person who killed Alfie has been held responsible.
If I were to describe him, I would say a very arrogant, selfish, controlling and manipulative man. I think he has taken people on a journey, that family on a journey, which is despicable.
Welcome or welcome back. I'm Cassie and this is A Wicked World. Before we get into today's story, I just briefly wanted to tell you about the sponsor of today's video, Ana Luisa. As I'm sure you're aware, Mother's Day is only a few weeks away, and what mother wouldn't want to get a beautiful piece of jewelry? Ana Luisa has necklaces, rings, bracelets, and earrings that are not only stunning, but also affordable. I recently got this new set, a matching gold necklace and gold bracelet. I just love the links that have the little stones on them, simple but stylish. So I've been consistently wearing this bracelet since I got it a few weeks ago, and it hasn't come off once yet. Not when I shower, not when I do the dishes, not when I wash my hands. And you would never know it because Ana Luisa's jewelry stays shiny and looks newer, longer than other jewelry does. All their jewelry is water-resistant and won't tarnish. You really don't have to worry with Ana Luisa because all their jewelry comes with a 2-year warranty. And with Mother's Day coming up, they have so many styles on their website, something for every kind of mom or grandmother. Their styles can really be enjoyed by any generation. And one of my favorite pieces that Ana Luisa has right now on their website is this beautiful gold mama necklace, which of course is perfect for Mother's Day. Any mom I know would love getting this. Oh, and I almost forgot to tell you, their shipping is fast and free, so you still have time to go order something for your mom now. Just use my link below to head over to AnaLuisa.com and save up to 25% off on their website right now for a limited time only. The story I have for you today is about a toddler who was generally well cared for and loved. But one day, the childish and petty attitude of a grown man would cause this little boy's life to come to a sudden and tragic end. This is the story of Alfie Lamb. Alfie Lamb was born on May 13, 2014, to his mother, Adrian Hoare, and his father, Richard Lamb, in Gillingham, Kent, England. Alfie was a happy, smiley, and active little boy, and he had been nicknamed by his mother as her Little Tarzan and Little Noodle. He loved playing with minions, cars, and his favorite TV show was Mr. Tumble. Alfie also loved going to the park and playing, and he especially loved when his grandmother would bring her dog along to the park with them. Alfie's mother, Adrian, had left home at a very young age because both of her parents were addicts and her father was known to get violent. Adrian had only been 15 years old when she had left home and went to live in a hostel. However, she returned to live with her mother again a couple years later when she was 17. So while 20-year-old Adrian was still living with her mother, in 2013, she conceived Alfie after a one-night stand. At first, Adrian didn't know who Alfie's dad was, but when she thought she figured it out and approached the man, he wasn't interested in having a child. Even though at first they had made plans for this man to see Alfie, he would only ever end up seeing him twice in Alfie's entire life. So around the time that Adrian was actually 6 weeks pregnant with Alfie, she met a man named Richard Lamb, who was 15 years her senior. They soon began dating and then moved into a flat together. So Richard was there when Alfie was born, and he would end up bringing up the little boy as his own, even giving him his last name. Unfortunately, however, Adrian would say that Richard was much like her parents and had drug and alcohol problems and would often get violent towards her. So the couple would go their separate ways in 2015, and Alfie's father, Richard, would end up moving out of the home that they shared. But he would come back later and set it on fire, which he ended up serving a 3-year prison sentence for. Luckily, Adrian and Alfie were not in the home at the time that he did this. After this incident, Adrian moved to Blackpool for a new start where she would live with her mother, Janice, again. But it wasn't long until Janice started noticing that Adrienne was becoming neglectful of her son. She would often be sitting around in her pajamas until 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and Alfie would be doing the same. The grandmother also said that Alfie was frequently put into a bouncer and placed in front of the TV. Janice also claimed that her daughter was constantly on Facebook, and if Alfie would cry because he wanted something, she would pick him up, put him down beside her on the couch, give him a toy, and continue on her social media. It seemed like Adrienne had started losing interest in her son when he had become a toddler. When he was a baby, she was very protective of him and would never leave his side. But as he started to get older and more active, she began to not pay as much attention to him and also would feed him junk food all the time. Then in 2016, Adrienne met a new boyfriend who was named Stephen Watterson. Stephen, who was the adopted son of former Tory minister Nigel Watterson, was also a nightclub worker and was known to be arrogant, selfish, and jealous. Regardless of these charming characteristics, by the beginning of 2018, Alfie and his mother were living in a flat with Stephen in Croydon. On February 1st, 2018, Alfie, his mother, and Stephen went shopping for cushions in South London. They were also accompanied by 19-year-old Emily Williams and 22-year-old Marcus Lamb, as well as another younger child. The group would take Stephen's Audi for the shopping trip, but Stephen would force Marcus to drive, even though he didn't have a valid driver's license. Now, Marcus was Alfie's cousin, and he was also the son of Stephen's biological mother's boyfriend. During their trip to London, the group was captured on CCTV footage, and you can see little Alfie running to try to keep up with his mother. So naturally, after all that running with his little legs, Alfie was tired and irritable by the time they returned to the car after shopping. Now, Alfie and the other young child that was with the group had been forced to sit on the floor in the rear of the vehicle near the passenger's feet. Stephen's two-door Audi Sport Coupe only had 4 seats, and there were 6 people, so this was his solution. The children even had car seats, but he had taken them out and put them into the trunk instead. I would think that the adults should be the one risking their lives if you're going to be that stupid. Not the children. They didn't choose that. Upon getting in the car, Stephen had moved his electric seat back to give himself more room for his legs. Alfie, who was sitting behind Stephen's seat at his mother's feet, began making it known that he was uncomfortable. The seat was squishing him, and he began crying and called out, "Mummy." Adrienne told Stephen to move his seat up, which he did at the time. But Alfie was still crying, and the crying was annoying Stephen, so he yelled at him. But yelling only scared the toddler and made him jump and begin crying harder. Then Stephen said he would not be told what to do by a 3-year-old, and again pushed his seat back into Alfie. This time Alfie began crying louder and making choking noises, but his mother, Adrienne, just told him to shut up. Once Alfie had stopped crying, Stephen pulled his seat back up again. Adrienne said that she thought her son was just sleeping, but once they returned home, she realized that he was completely limp. At first, they thought maybe he was just playing with them, because Adrienne said that in the past, he had gone floppy when he didn't get his way. But Alfie was also very pale, and after numerous attempts, his mother was unable to get him to come to. So, emergency services were called.
Is the patient breathing?
I seriously don't know. There's a child. I've just seen there's a child here, and he's not physically breathing. He's with his mum, but he's just not responding at all.
Right. Just can you check if he's breathing? If there's breath coming in and out of his mouth.
Is there breath coming in and out of his mouth?
Or is chest rising? Is he breathing at all? His mum will know.
Can you see? No, he's not. There's nothing.
Right. What's the address of the emergency, please? Is there a door number you can see?
No, it's just blocks of flats. I just literally drove past.
Upon their arrival, medics tried to revive Alfie before then rushing him to St. Thomas's Hospital, where he was then kept alive by a machine. But his injuries proved to be too severe, and Alfie was taken off of life support 3 days later, on February 4th, and he was pronounced dead. An initial post-mortem examination of Alfie's body proved to be inconclusive. But a pathologist would later end up determining that he had died of crush asphyxia. The maximum space in the back footwell of the car where the little boy had been sitting was 11.8 inches, or 30 centimeters, and at the touch of a button, that would be reduced all the way down to 3.7 inches, or 9.5 centimeters. When the medics had shown up at the scene on February 1st, Adrian had been on the phone with Stephen, who had fled the scene. They were trying to get their story straight. And police were called shortly after the medics arrived, after suspicions arose about how Alfie had actually died. Adrian, who was of course trying to protect not only herself, but also her boyfriend, told police that she had actually taken a taxi when it happened. But she couldn't give them the taxi company's name or tell them exactly what had happened to Alfie. And while she had been in the hospital with her son, Adrian had actually texted Stephen saying, "They know we're lying." Stephen had also texted Adrian while she was in the hospital, and he told her he would do anything for her, and he claimed that he would take the entire blame when he spoke to police, which would prove to be the furthest thing from the truth. During Adrian's first interview with police on February 3rd, when her son was still fighting for his life in the hospital, she would tell them that she didn't know a Stephen Watterson. She was dating a man named Stephen Marchant from Maidstone. And when police had caught up with Stephen, he had given them a fake name and a fake statement. They also found out that he had sold his Audi recently, and for very cheap. Only £800 or $996. After realizing they could be facing serious trouble, Stephen and Adrian began verbally and physically threatening the other two adults who had been in the car at the time, Emily and Marcus. They told them if they didn't stick to the story that Stephen made up, they knew how to make them disappear. Stephen and Adrian had also assaulted both Marcus and Emily. On February 18th, Stephen had attacked Marcus in Crystal Palace Park, and he had recorded the entire thing on his phone. Stephen had his foot on Marcus's head, which was on the ground, and he demanded to know what he had told police, while calling him Grass, aka the lowest of the low, which he's clearly talking about himself. Emily, who was pregnant at the time, had also been told by Stephen that if she didn't stick to the story, her unborn baby would grow up without a mother. And at one point, Adrian had slapped Emily across the face so hard that it had left a handprint on her cheek for about a half hour afterwards. So due to the threats from both Stephen and Adrian, Emily lied to police about multiple things. But eventually, Adrian's half-sister, Ashley Jeffrey, would end up getting the truth out of Adrian. Ashley had invited her over to her house. She had then turned on her voice recorder on her phone and asked Adrian what exactly had happened to Alfie on February 1st. Adrian confessed to her and also told her that she had lied to police on numerous occasions in order to protect her boyfriend, Stephen. Afterwards, Ashley took this recording and gave it right to the police. So on February 28th, Adrian, Stephen, and Emily were all finally arrested. Adrian was charged with manslaughter, child cruelty, conspiring to pervert the course of justice by making false statements to the police, as well as common assault on Emily Williams. She pleaded not guilty. Stephen was charged with manslaughter, intimidation of a witness, and conspiring to pervert the course of justice. He also pleaded not guilty. And even though she had been verbally threatened as well as physically assaulted, Emily was still charged as well. She was charged with conspiring to pervert the course of justice, and she pleaded not guilty. Now, while Stephen was being questioned by police this time, he mentioned his father's name, Nigel Watterson, making it known to police that he had powerful parents, and insinuating that he was untouchable. During this interrogation, Stephen also said that he would never have hurt a child, and he had only moved his seat back an inch. And when police spoke with Adrian this time, she told them that she never thought that Alfie was in any sort of trouble. When Stephen had moved his seat back, she said that Alfie still had some room, so she thought he was fine. Now, the driver of the Audi that day, Marcus, had also spoken with police, and he told them that Adrian was not very nice to her son that day. She had treated Alfie rather bad during their shopping trip prior to the car incident. If he tripped trying to keep up with the adults because he had such tiny legs, Adrian would grab his arm, yank him up, and scream at him. So Alfie and Adrian had previously been on social services watch list. But in 2016, when she had moved in with Stephen, social services believed that she was now coping better and took her off their list. But Adrian would regularly lie to social workers, which was part of the reason she got off the list. And they never looked into Stephen's background. Had they? They would have realized that Stephen had 3 prior convictions for assault and battery, going back to 2014. These involved attacking his ex-girlfriends as well as his sister's husband. And in 2012 and 2013, girls who were aged 14 and 15 accused Stephen of making threats and sending abusive messages to them. He was at the time at least 5 years older than both of these girls. And another girl had come forward to police saying that Stephen was violent to her in 2012, but she had never filed charges for one reason or another. And on top of all of that, 8 months prior to Alfie's death, Stephen had actually threatened his and his mother Adrian's lives. About a year into Stephen and Adrian's relationship, she had actually gotten pregnant again. But she discovered around the same time that Stephen was carrying on relationships with 2 other women, so she confronted him about it. But of course, being the kind of person that he is, he was angry at her, even though he was the one doing wrong. He somehow persuaded Adrian to get in the car with Alfie. He then took off, speeding, and said to her, "I'll kill myself, you, and that baby." Luckily, somehow Adrian was able to make him stop the car, and she called the police. But then clearly went back later. Stephen had also been known to be very controlling of Adrian. He had never given her the keys to the homes that they shared. They had lived together since 2016, but had recently moved into their new flat. So he claimed that that's the reason why he had never given her keys, was because the landlord had only given him 1 key, and they had just moved in, so he just hadn't gotten a copy yet. Stephen had also taken it upon himself to sell Adrian's phone so that she had to rely on using his, which also meant he now had access to her Facebook account. And the government benefits that Adrian was receiving each month would go directly into Stephen's bank account, and she had no access to them. In addition, Adrian had almost no contact with her friends or family because Stephen didn't like her hanging out or speaking to anyone, really. And Stephen was controlling of other people as well. None of the people who lived with Stephen had been allowed to have a key to the apartment. So on the day that Alfie had been injured, Stephen was the one who wanted to go shopping. And the others had to go with him because he didn't want them to be left alone in his flat when he wasn't there. Unbelievable. Stephen's half-sister, whose name is Samantha Dawson, had previously spent time with Stephen, Adrian, and Alfie. Samantha said that both Stephen and Adrian were rather rough with the toddler. She had seen them screaming at him as well as smacking him. Samantha said that Alfie was looked after in the sense that he was dressed, fed, and clean. He, however, was not well loved. Samantha had also seen Stephen do the exact same thing to Alfie that he had done on February 1st that had caused Alfie to lose his life. She had been in the car with the couple, and Alfie had again been sitting at the floorboard near his mother's feet. Stephen had pushed the seat back, and Alfie began crying and saying, "Mommy, I can't move." Adrian said to her son, "I'll give you something to cry about." At which point, Samantha yelled at her brother Stephen to move his seat back forward and told him that's not how you should treat a child. So when Samantha heard that Alfie had died in the exact same way, she started to wonder if she had been more firm, could she have saved Alfie's life? But I doubt it. I doubt it. This guy's just a monster. In February of 2019, Adrian and Stephen went to trial. The prosecution told the jurors that both Stephen and Adrian had played a part in Alfie's death. In addition, his mother Adrian had fundamentally failed the little boy by putting him in such an unsafe place in the car. The prosecutor then said all she needed to do was pick him up, and she didn't. Now he's dead. Adrian's defense told the jury that Alfie had always been a happy child, and there had never been any concerns of abuse or neglect. They also said that Adrian was deeply remorseful for what she had done in the car that day, or not done. And when it was her turn to give evidence, she told the court that she knew she wasn't a completely perfect mom. But social services had never questioned her fitness as a mother, only her choice in partners. She also spoke about Stephen's temper, saying that he would explode at minor things, and she never knew when he was going to go off. And text messages, as well as overheard conversations presented in court, showed that both Adrian and Stephen would often swear about the toddler, calling him a little shit and a little fatty. And unbelievably, following Alfie's death, but before the trial, Adrian had written letters to Stephen.
Part of one of these letters read, "We love you, not just me, but also our little munchkin.
Who will be looking down on you, is proud of you, and will be protecting you. I just wish none of this had ever happened." In another part of the letter, she then said, "You are not going to lose me. I know how much you loved our little Chubba. He loved you just as much as you loved him. The bond you had was amazing." And even when Alfie had been in the hospital being treated in intensive care, Adrian had texted Stephen saying, "If the worst does happen, you still won't lose me. And I love you. No one can be blamed." Oh, really? It was just an act of God, Adrian? So clearly, she was way too concerned with being with Stephen than her own child's life. And the thing was, Stephen was busy text messaging other women, four of them in fact, trying to meet up with a couple of them later that evening. He, however, insisted that he was in a state of panic and was concerned for the little boy. And he also insisted that some of the relationships to the women he had been texting were not romantic. Okay, but some of them were. Stephen was still denying that he had deliberately moved his seat back into Alfie after losing his temper. He told jurors that he moved his seat back no more than an inch, and when he had been asked to move his seat forward again, he did so immediately. Stephen's defense suggested that he had not deliberately been nasty towards Alfie. And it must have been Adrian who caused the boy's injuries, not their client. They also claimed that Adrian had slapped her son on multiple occasions. In fact, they said on that day, during the car journey, she had slapped him because Alfie was pinching her. The prosecution would say to Stephen, "On your account, Mr. Watterson, it could not have been the car seat that killed Alfie. And you have been framed horribly for Alfie's death." To which he replied, "That's correct." At the conclusion of the case, Scotland Yard's Detective Chief Inspector Simon Harding, who had handled the case, said that Alfie had died as a result of a selfish and cruel act. He then said, "It's hard to imagine what sort of pain anyone would go through when you're being crushed in that way. For a 3.5-year-old to be crushed by something so strong and no one helping, it's a shocking way to die." He continued on, "Stephen Watterson has come across as a selfish, abhorrent individual who killed a 3.5-year-old child and has never stood up and said what has happened and taken responsibility for the actions he performed on that day." After a grueling trial and days of deliberation, a jury would clear Adrian Hoare of manslaughter. They did, however, find her guilty of child cruelty. She was also found guilty of common assault for smacking Emily on the cheek. And both Stephen and Adrian had previously admitted to conspiring to pervert the course of justice by lying to police. Adrian Hoare was sentenced to 2 years for cruelty, 8 months for perverting the course of justice, and 1 month for assault. And they were to run consecutively. Stephen Watterson was found guilty of intimidation of a witness, but unfortunately, the jury could not decide if he was guilty of manslaughter, so he was to be retried at a later date. And Adrian agreed to testify against her ex-boyfriend Stephen at his retrial for manslaughter. But Stephen would end up avoiding this by pleading guilty to his charge right before his trial was about to start. So, Stephen was then sentenced to 5 years and 6 months for manslaughter, as well as 2 years for intimidation of a witness, and 18 months for perverting the course of justice, which are to run concurrently. And when Emily was sentenced, the judge took into account her vulnerability, as well as the threats that had been made against her. At the time of the trial, Emily was also heavily pregnant. She was sentenced to 5 months in jail, which was suspended for 18 months. She was also required to serve 100 hours of community service after she gave birth to her baby. After only 5 months, Adrian would be released from jail. However, she violated the terms of her release and was taken back in May of 2020. She was, however, released again for good in July of 2021. And in January of 2022, Stephen was released from prison under probation supervision. And Alfie's family was not informed that Stephen had been released, nor was his sister, Samantha Dawson, who had testified against him.
She feared for her and her children's lives, but much to her relief, in May of 2023, Stephen was also sent back to prison for violating the terms of his release, and he will be there till at least 2026 now. And Janice Templeton Hoare said that she could not forgive her daughter Adrian for what she's done. She believes that she should spend the rest of her life in prison. And Janice also said that she spoke to Adrian every other day while she was in prison, but her daughter had still never shown any remorse for what she did. Janice had actually never even been invited to her grandson Alfie's funeral, and the only way that she found out that he had died was after her daughter had posted selfies. Janice says she still wishes she could put Alfie's favorite tea on and see him sitting at the table. She said, "Alfie isn't gone to me because I can't say my goodbyes to him. I just wish he'd knock on that door and say, 'Nanny, I'm hungry. I want something. I miss him so much, and I wish he was here with me.'" And Alfie's aunt said about the toddler, "Every time I saw Alfie, he was so happy. He always wanted to play and had such a bright imagination. He had the best smile, and he was always smiling. Alfie's death has had such a profound effect on me, my life, my health, my children, and my relationship." Well, thank you for listening to Alfie's story today. While I'm sure that Stephen did not mean to kill the little boy, he also didn't care about the great amount of pain that he was clearly in and making well known, which is just as bad. I'm glad Stephen was punished, but what a pathetic sentence for his actions. And on top of that, threatening to assault two other people afterwards? And were these other people really so scared of Stephen that they left the flat that they shared because Stephen wasn't going to be home, put their children into an unsafe situation in the car, and then helped him cover up Alfie's murder? If so, why were they even still hanging out with this guy? So if you do like true crime and you want to hear it from me, then don't forget to hit that subscribe button below and turn on those notifications too, so you'll know when I upload a new video, which is 2 to 3 times every week. And don't forget to click that link in the description box below so that you can get your mom or grandma or even yourself a beautiful piece of jewelry from Ana Luisa. Thanks for watching A Wicked World today. Until next time, take care, guys. Bye. Thank you to all the patrons of A Wicked World. Now, there's even more of A Wicked World on Patreon. So check it out at patreon.com/awickedworld or use the Patreon app. You'll have access to exclusive videos each month and more. Any support truly helps to make sure the victims never get forgotten and to highlight the shortcomings of society associated with each case. Do you have a suggestion for a case you'd like to see me cover? If so, send me an email at awickedworldtruecrime@gmail.com.